So let's review. The Mishnah earlier discussed Gashel, Evan, Eitz, Cheres, how to purify a winepress of stone, wood, or earthenware that was coated with pitch with some Yayin Nesech mixed into the pitch. The Gemara now cites a brayso regarding other utensils used with the press. If one's winepress or olive mill was tame and he wanted to purify it, hadapin va'adoshin va'alulavin madichan. The press, the boards used to weigh down the grapes, and the brooms used to gather any scattered grapes should be rinsed and they may be used b'tahara. Va'akolin, regarding the netting used to contain the grapes while they are pressed, it depends. Shal netzarn v'shal batzbutz menagvan. If they're made of wicker or canvas, they need to be wiped with water and ash and can then be used immediately. V'shal shifa v'shal gemi. But if they are made of shifa or gemi, there is a machlekes tanakama reb shimingam liel. The Tanakhama says, Miyashnan Yud Beis Chodesh. You must wait 12 months before using them b'tahara. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamli loimer, Manichan Migas Lagas Mibad Labad. He can use them right away at the start of the next season. And the Gemara explains, Ikebeinayu Churfi Va'afli. According to the Tanakhama, you must wait the full 12 months. While according to Rabbi Shimon Gamli, they can be used at the next season, even if this season started late or the next season starts early, and so there is less than 12 months between them. However, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yisi Oimer HaReitz Lataran Miyad Magi'ilon Beroyschen Oicholtem B'meizesen. If one wants to use them immediately, he can rinse them with boiling water or scald them with the water used to cook the olives. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meshum Rabbi Yisi Oimer Menichen Tachas Tziner Shemeim of Mekalchen Oy B'mayin Shemeim of Reitven V'kama Oina. He can put them under a pipe of flowing water or in a spring with rushing water for an Oina, which is 12 hours. The Gemara rules, Kederch Sha'amr B'taharis, Kach Amr B'Yayin Nesach. These halachas also apply to a press that was used for Yayin Nesach. The Gemara now discusses other utensils. Hani Rafki D'Armoy, these sediment sacks of the Armoyim, it depends what they're made of. D'Mazya Madichan, D'Amra Menagvan, D'Chisna Miyashnan. If they're made of hair, they must be rinsed. If they're made of wool, they must be wiped with ash and water. If they're made of linen, one must wait 12 months before using them. Additionally, v'ika kitri sharluhu, knots must be undone first because some wine gets absorbed inside the knots. A similar ruling, hani dekuli b'chalasa d'armoy, woven baskets used as sieves, d'chiti b'chavli d'tsuri madichan, d'tzavsa menagvan, d'chisna meyashna. If they're made of palm fibers, they must be rinsed. If they're made of the tzavsa plant, they must be wiped with ash and water. If they're made of linen, they must wait 12 months before using them. Additionally, the ika kitri sharluhu, knots must be undone. The Gemara cites another ruling regarding the tahara of the winepress. Ama aretz shahishid yodai lagas v'noga b'shkailis. If an Ama aretz, who was always suspected of being impure, touched clusters of grapes in the press, it is a machlekes rebbe v'reb chia. Chad amar eshkel v'chol sviveis of t'mein v'chol agas kula tahara. The cluster and the grapes immediately surrounding it are impure, but the rest of the press is pure. V'chad amar kol agas kula t'namei t'meya. The entire contents of the press are impure. The Gemara challenges this ruling from a Mishnah. Sheretz shenimtza b'rechayim einu mitame elamokim agoy. V'moyam mashkin mahalach hakol tame. If an impure sheretz was found in an olive mill, only the area it touched is tame. However, if there was liquid flowing throughout the mill, its entire contents are tame. Here too, since all the clusters are in the wine, the entire contents should be tame. The Gemara differentiates. Hasam lemifsik v'lemidi. Hacha mifsik yeshkeilis. In an olive mill, there is nothing separating the sheretz from all the contents of the mill. However, in the wine press, the other clusters separate between the cluster that is tummy and the rest of the grapes, and so the tumah is not transmitted to the entire press. The Mishnah now describes the process whereby one purifies utensils used for non-kosher food. Zok the Mishnah. Halakech klei tashmish mino evdi kechavim. One who purchases non-kosher utensils from a non-Jew. Eshadarche lahatvil yatvil. A utensil that was only used for cold items can be immersed and then used. Lahagel yagel. A utensil that is used with heat, such as metal pots, should be scalded with hot water and can then be used. Lalabin bu'ur, yalabin bu'ur. A utensil that comes into direct contact with fire, as the Mishnah will elaborate, should be heated with a flame and can then be used. Rashi explains, Kaboyle kach polte. The utensil gives out its flavor in the same manner that it was absorbed. The Mishnah explains, Hashfud va'askala malabnon bu'ur. A roasting pit and a grill must be heated in a fire. A braisa adds, v'kulon tzrichen tefila barbom sa. In addition to the procedures of purging described in the Mishnah, all these utensils require immersion in a mikveh, as it says in the pasuk, kol davar she'yav be'esh tavir be'esh bitar. Anything used with heat must be purified with heat. And the superfluous word betir teaches, chayis v'chakos of tara cheres, an additional purification process, namely tefila. The pasuk continues, "Ach b'mei nida yischata," comparing this tefillah to the tefillah of a nida. And the Gemara explains, "Mayim shenida tevelas ben hava oimer arba sa." This teaches us that we require a mikvah of 40 sa. However, "ach chilik," the exclusionary word "ach," teaches us that we do not require haza shlishi ushvi, sprinkling with the ashes of the paradumah, which are also called meinida, nor harav shemesh kenida, nor do we require waiting until nightfall. Rather, the tahara is completed immediately with the tefillah itself. The Gemara rules afilu kelim chadashim b'mashma. Even new utensils purchased from a non-Jew require tefillah because da yishanim v'libnon kechadashim damu v'afilu hachi b'ay tefillah. Utensils that were cleansed in a fire are considered like new, and yet we require tefillah. However, the Gemara adds several conditions for this requirement. Klei suda amur b'parsha. The pasuk only refers to utensils used for food. Lo yishanu ela b'lekuchin ukemaisa shehaya ava she'ulin loy. This halacha only applies to purchased utensils that now belong to the Jew, as did the incident of Midian mentioned in the Torah, but one may borrow utensils from a non-Jew and use them without tefillah. Klei matzchis amur b'parsha. This only applies to metal utensils. However, Ravashi adds, hani klei zechuchis hoil v'chi nishtabri yishlan takana ki klei matzchis dami. Glass utensils also require tefillah because they are considered like metal utensils since they can be melted down and reformed after they are broken. Regarding kunya, earthenware utensils that have a metal coating, it is a machlikis rav acha v'ravina, charam r'kitchilasei b'charam r'kitchisefei. One says that they are like their initial state of earthenware which does not require tefillah, and the other says that they are like their final state of metal that requires tefillah. And the Gemara rules, v'ilchas r'kitchisefei, they are considered metal utensils and require tefillah. The Gemara inquires, mashkantamai. If a Jew has a non-Jew's utensil as collateral, can he use it without tefillah? In response, Ma'abar Avashi related, Abba mashkin le'ovid kichavim kasa de kaspa, ve'at v'leve ishli bei. My father Avashi had a silver goblet of a non-Jew as collateral, and he was toivel it before using it. However, lo yadana imishum de ksavar mashkanta kezvini damye, imishum de chazi le'ovid kichavim de daiti l'shakui. I do not know whether he held that all collateral is like a sale and requires tefillah, or whether he realized that the non-Jew planned to leave the goblet with him in lieu of payment, and that therefore was considered his, and therefore required tefillah. The Gemara cites a machlekes regarding bekulin shenishtamash ben ad shlo yatva v'shlo yagel v'shlo yilabin. If one used a non-Jew's used utensil before immersing, scalding, or burning in the fire, tani chada aser, noisin tam lefgam aser, v'tani idach muter, noisin tam lefgam muter. One braisa rules that the food is forbidden because the utensil will impart the Jew's food in the forbidden flavor it had absorbed, and this flavor, even though it is detrimental to the food, is forbidden, while another braisa rules that the food is permitted because a detrimental flavor is not forbidden. The Gemara explains the machlekes. One braisa holds, Lo asu toira el kederu bas yoyma, delab noisin tam lefgamhu. The Torah only forbade using a utensil that the non-Jew used that very same day in which the flavor is still favorable. But mekam ve'elach gizera kederu sheina bas yoyma, mishum kederu bas yoyma. After that, it is only forbidden as a decree midrabanan, so that one should not come to use a utensil that was used that same day. Therefore, b'diyeved, the food is permitted. However, the other braisa holds, kederu bas yoyma namim mifkum pugama. The flavor absorbed by utensil is always detrimental, even on that same day, and yet the Torah forbade it, therefore the food remains forbidden.